On this episode of the Green Street Beat, we're focusing on the city's response to COVID-19 and looking ahead to what's next. Let's get to it. I'm Eric Stoyanov, the city's public communications coordinator. Joining me today are City Manager Steve Arbo and Fire Chief Mike Snyder. Thanks for taking the time to come on the podcast today.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here. Thank you for making time for us today.
As we all know, everyone's focus right now is on COVID-19, so we wanted to focus on how the city has responded so far and look ahead to what's next for the city. The City of Lee Summit recently extended its state of emergency declaration, and Jacks County also extended their stay-at-home order. Both are through May 15th, so I wanted to start with the difference between those things because I think there's a little bit of confusion. So can you clarify the difference between the city's state of emergency and the county's stay-at-home order?
So we, as a city, and most of Jackson County that is not contained in the city of Kansas City, Missouri, we have a health department that we share, and it's called the Jackson County Health Department, and it is operated by Jackson County. With that, the Jackson County Health Department is responsible for the issues that relate to public health. These are the folks that inspect our restaurants, inspect our public swimming pools. If there was a significant health crisis, such as what we're having today, they are the lead agency that we follow to make sure that we have a common point on how we address these type of issues. So it is that group, the Jackson County Health Department, who asked their boss, who is County Executive Frank White, to issue an order that we stay at home, similar to many of the other stay-at-home orders throughout the United States. The staff, such as me, being the city manager and our city attorney, we know that there are certain decisions that need to be made swiftly, and that there are certain, I'll say, policies and processes that may need to be abbreviated so that we can quickly address public health issues that we might be aware of in the city that requires our response. For example, we would need to make a large purchase of protective equipment for our first responders. The city manager has, under normal conditions, the city manager has the authority to make a purchase up to $50,000. But if we needed a supply of $70,000 under normal circumstances, the city manager would probably need to go through a 30 to 45 day process of review before it gets accepted formally by the city council. With the state of emergency order, really what occurred is that our operations as a city, there are some things that we can do in the interest of responding to the COVID-19 crisis. We can do swiftly as long as we keep the mayor and the council informed. And obviously, these decisions are only being made purely for the purposes of the COVID-19 response. And in order to have that kind of ability to act quickly, it requires that our chief elected official, which is the mayor, to sign an order declaring that the city is in a state of emergency. And so that's the difference between the stay-at-home order that County Executive Frank White approved and the state of emergency that Mayor Baird has approved.
So Missouri's governor extended its stay-at-home order through May 3rd, but as we mentioned, Jackson County's is through the 15th. So how was that decision made that the county wanted to extend it through the 15th while the state decided May 3rd was a good date?
The governor's been very open in his communications in regards to the dates and processes that he's followed and established for the statewide approach. And he's been very clear from the start that he makes his decisions based on the data in Missouri that he's been presented with and the diversity of our entire state, whether that be a rural area, a suburban area, or an urban area. So he is taking an approach that has a very diverse area of coverage. that he's trying to apply that to completely. So one of the other points that he's made very clear through that process and through his communications is that he believes the local authorities within the areas of the state better understand what needs to occur within that specific geographical area. So you are correct. His current stay-at-home order is set to expire on May 3rd. And then he has been discussing his phased approach for reopening the state. And then the Jackson County stay-at-home order goes through May 15th. As Mr. Arbo alluded to, we rely on those experts within our public health authorities throughout in Jackson County and throughout our region to help guide this decision-making process. They are looking at the data as the governor looks at the data for the entire state. They've been looking at the data for our region, for our county, and making the best informed decisions they can based on that information. And they have many points that they're looking at to make that decision, but all of the data is telling them that that is the best decision we can make at this time is to have that May 15th date for the Kansas City region.
And you've both been involved in a lot of meetings recently with regional leaders and have stressed the importance of responding to this virus as a collective region rather than individual municipalities. Why do you think that approach is important, that regional approach?
Anytime, this is not a focused disaster area, like if we were struck by a tornado or something of that nature, that we can identify the area affected and then mitigate the hazard. This is truly something that an emergency that crosses the borders of many of our entities, you know, whether it's the city, the county, the state, and then even throughout the nation. So it's truly my belief that due to the situation that's been presented, that approaching it as a region, speaking as one voice, would be the greatest benefit to our citizens, for understanding the communications and understanding the importance because they're hearing a consistent message. I truly believe it would be confusing if as we're experiencing in some ways today, if one neighboring community or county has a different order than what we do and trying to allow people to understand the reasoning behind that. So that's why we've been focused on more of a regional approach. It has been with the goal of providing that consistent message because this hazard, this emergency goes beyond borders and doesn't see lines. We're going to continue to strive for that. But we also understand, as the governor stated, you know, for the whole state, that we have to rely on those local entities to make the best decisions based on their information that they can. And hopefully those decisions are very, very similar so we can ensure that our citizens have the best information that we can provide to keep them safe. That is the goal. What can we do to keep our citizens safe?
There have been a lot of models going around showing peaks in cases. From the data that you guys are seeing, when are we anticipating that peak in Jackson County, Lee Summit area?
We've said this, you know, multiple times, and it is so true. You know, we are relying on the experts for this information. But that doesn't mean we're not actively engaged with these experts and know that they are considering so many different points when looking at identifying what this is. I'll mention a couple of them. These are out there. They are available models that people can look at, the public can see, and they're looking at hospital system capacity. They're looking at the number of active cases. They're looking at the decreases in cases. What's our ability to increase testing? What's our ability to provide personal protective equipment for our healthcare providers, you know, which includes our local firefighters and paramedics and first and police officers and hospital staff. When we're speaking of this, all these models that have a wide range of peak dates based on whatever the data set that they're looking at, I'll be honest, some of them have dates that are earlier today and some of them have dates that are after this. We as a city are going to continue to work with the experts, utilizing the best data that we have available to make decisions, as I mentioned, with the sole focus of keeping our citizens safe. So we're going to take all that information and absorb it and rely on those experts to help us guide us through this emergency.
You touched on two of the very important things that are being talked about right now, personal protective equipment and testing. Can you speak to the current supply of personal protective equipment and the changes that have been implemented in Lee Summit to protect first responders?
Very much so. I think the first thing that I'd like to do is thank our community. From individual citizens to corporations, the outpouring of support has been tremendous. We've had citizens consistently bringing in homemade cloth face masks that we've distributed not only to our public safety personnel, but throughout our entire city staff. As we see those orders or recommendations continue to change and recommend that people wear those cloth masks in public to prevent the spread. But in addition to the citizens and the business community, we have continued to look at avenues to provide our personal protective equipment to our staff. You've seen the hurdles that our state has experienced. The supply chain has been very much interrupted, so it has been a very interesting process. I will tell you that today, because of the donations that we received, because some of the state's supply, and because of the supply that we had on hand prior to this event, we have greater than a 30-day supply of each of the highly discussed items out there, the N95 mask, surgical mask, face and eye protection, gowns and gloves. So I feel very, very comfortable that as we continue to work as a region, which is another regional effort, where we're working with the Heart of America Fire Chiefs and Mid-America Regional Council to identify supply chains that can benefit the region, which is the best way that I believe that we can accomplish meeting the needs in the future. But so locally, we have supply that's going to last us based on current usage. If we would have a surge, you know, obviously that's going to affect things. But based on our current usage, we have a supply of 30 plus days of all of those pieces of equipment. The one thing that I would like to discuss, because citizens are going to see different responses from us or different levels of personal protective equipment when we respond on calls. First of all, any call that our staff is emergency responders are responding to, they are wearing a surgical mask. Whether it is a medical call or not, and that's because we're doing our part to prevent the spread and protect our first responders. If it's a call that we believe may be related, it has a symptom that we've all come to know, we are going to limit the number of staff that makes that initial contact until we determine if it truly is needs to be treated as that is not or not. So that's also allowing us to maintain our supply of PPE because we're not putting everybody into that direct contact scenario. So we are continuing to alter our responses, not reducing the number of resources that would be available, but changing the way we actively engage in that initial response when we're arriving on scene. So you'll see at points a fire truck may get there after the ambulance and not go directly inside as we've experienced in the past. And that's because those personnel are communicating based on the needs of that patient. So I do feel that we're in a good place today. That could drastically change tomorrow, but we do have at least a 30-day supply.
The other big question is about testing. So is widespread testing available right now in the region?
Testing in the Kansas City metropolitan area and in the city of Lee Summit is pretty much the same as I would think it is for the rest of the United States. And that is, testing is available for those really important cases and where testing is necessary to make it a determination. An example would be that we know that our first line responders are police officers and firefighters, and we have been testing them when we think that they may have been in a situation where there may have been maybe a potential exposure to a COVID-19 case. And so what that does is it helps assure us and them their condition because of the COVID-19 testing. So COVID-19 testing in Lee Summit in the Kansas City metropolitan area in general is available for those frontline people that are interacting directly in care with those who may or may not have COVID-19. We also have placed an emphasis on making testing available to those who have the symptoms so that they can resolve those questions in order to either quarantine themselves or modify their lifestyle to protect others around them. The question if testing is widely available to anyone, such as Joe Citizen or Jane Citizen, who just wants to find out if they have COVID-19, that's probably not available at this time. The COVID-19 tests are still a resource that we are making certain are used for the highest priority needs instead of having them depleted for other needs that may not be as important.
What would reopening look like in Lee's Summit? Are we looking at a phased-in approach where things slowly begin to operate again, but not everything at once? What's the scenario?
Well, as we started the podcast, that the decision regarding public health matters is assigned to the Jackson County Public Health Department. The good news is that they have been very focused on communicating with all of the municipalities in Jackson County. I need to note that the City of Independence, they have their own health department, and the City of Kansas City has their own health department. But the rest of Jackson County, we all work together under the Jackson County Health Department. And they will be determining what will occur after the stay-at-home order of May 15th expires. My guess is that it will not just be on May 16th that everything will be automatically open and we're going back to life as normal. I am assuming that there will be different stages or phases based upon observations of things such as active COVID-19 cases, and if they continue to decline, things such as COVID-19 testing and having the ability to quickly trace the contact that maybe an active COVID-19 person has after they've been tested. Those kind of things I think will be important. I don't want to speak on behalf of the county because I can't, but I think those things would be important when Jackson County Health Department makes their decision on what the days will look like after the May 15th date has come to has come, and we're talking about, all right, now that we're not at a stay-at-home restriction, what does our life look like in this stage? And I think that you'll see a relaxation or a reduction of restrictions as time goes on throughout the summer to reflect the, hopefully, the medical observations of our area.
Looking at the city, city facilities are currently closed to public access. We've been encouraging residents and business owners to use online resources for bill payments, applications, business licenses, things like that. Once the stay-at-home is lifted and City Hall reopens, is there going to continue to be a push to try to get residents to do as much as possible online and limit those interactions at City Hall and other public facilities? Are things going to change in how we approach those?
I think that we will see a higher use of our virtual connections that we've had in place for a long time, but and we're being used by so-called tech-savvy individuals, but not by the general population. And I think that to answer your question, Eric, I don't know that we will encourage or discourage anyone's behavior. We certainly will continue having that personal contact that people enjoy having with our employees because we're a community, and that person-to-person connectivity is very important for our culture here. But I think that we will continue to make the public aware of the efficiencies that we have in our technology, to where individuals can pretty much do anything, can can have any transaction that relates to the city can pretty much be done through connectivity, through technology.
I know funding is also a concern when you shut a city down. We're projecting at least right now a 10% drop in sales tax revenue for the next fiscal year, which that's one of the city's main sources of revenue. And of course, expenses rise in response to an emergency like this. Have we received financial assistance from the state?
Specifically speaking to our expenses in response to COVID-19 and receiving financial assistance from the state, I would say this, that the federal government has authorized multiple acts in the last several weeks that has authorized funds to be distributed to the state governments, and then the states have been establishing distribution plans to the resources at the local level. We have received funds through about three or four different avenues at this point. And that's been based on distribution models that they've established at the state level and with assistance from the federal government. Now, what we are doing with that is it's not just we've deposited money into your account and you get to spend it as you see fit. We are now reviewing the guidance that they're providing to ensure that we can utilize the funds as they outline. There may be a point to where we have to look at returning some of those funds if we cannot fit within the parameters that they've established. But right now, today, it's our goal to evaluate all the rules associated with the use of those funds and ensure that we are providing the best service that we can and getting the highest level of reimbursement possible through their guidance. So there's going to be more developing on that as we continue to move forward. I think there's going to be more opportunities to seek reimbursement. When the governor declared the statewide state of emergency and asked for the president to acknowledge that, we had a major disaster declaration. We have set up all the processes and followed all the processes to ensure any opportunity for reimbursement of our expenses can occur. So I feel very strong that we've placed ourselves into a great position. Now we just need to understand all the rules and guidance that they provide. Speaking specifically to the drop in revenue, Mr. Arbo, do you want to speak to that then?
So the city's revenue sources that are used to fund our operations are comprised, about 85% of them are comprised by three major sources, sales tax and property taxes, and what we call franchise tax, which would be some kind of fee or tax on electric utilities, gas, cable, television, those type of things. And out of those two, well, actually all three of them, have been challenged, especially with cable and landline telephones. Those seem to be a thing of the becoming the thing of the past in the households. But with sales tax, we did see a drop occurring in the future. Couple of reasons for that. One is the stay-at-home order and people not shopping and dining out as much as possible. But we saw an uptick in the grocery store use. But the thing that probably is challenging is that people are relying even more on purchasing items online. And at the current time, the city of Lee Summit does not receive taxes based upon a purchase of something online that is not within the state of Missouri. So if something gets shipped to your home and that manufacturer or that warehouse was not in Missouri, then it's likely that there will not be any type of benefit to the city, as opposed to if it was purchased in a brick and mortar store here in Lee Summit, Missouri. So that we were seeing the point of sale sales tax already eroding because of the convenience of the purchase online options that people have. So as we continue on and we're going to have a ballot issue on Tuesday, June 2nd, for people to consider allowing the city to collect the same percentage as our point of sale sales tax, which is 2.25%, 2.25%. If we receive a positive vote on June 2nd, then we may be able to capture some of that revenue loss that we're seeing through the online purchasing.
Is there anything else that you would want to share with the community?
Eric, I have been with the city for about 19 years, and I have always been impressed with the level of commitment and understanding that our community has for each other and the support that they give each other. And this has been a time when we've had to ask them, we being government, have had to ask them to be patient and to cooperate with us through a very disruptional period of time. And I think that Lee Summit should be very proud of how we've handled this process and how there has been such wonderful compliance with what was asked of them. And our commitment as far as a city manager, whatever kind of commitment I can make, is that I will do everything I can to make sure that our level of service and the quality that they expect from our city continues, not only through this crisis, but then as we try to rebound economically into the future.
So anything you would like to add, Chief Snyder?
Yeah, the last message that I would like to leave everyone with is, you know, be vigilant. Be vigilant in practicing social distancing. Be vigilant in practicing good hygiene. We do know for sure that these practices will drastically reduce the opportunities for you to become infected, which is why we've taken the steps that we've taken.
Well, I appreciate you both taking the time to do this today and for helping guide the city through what's an unprecedented situation. So thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks for listening to the latest episode. Make sure to share on social media and help spread the word. Also, subscribe so you don't miss out on new episodes. You can subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcasts.